Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Welcome to the Rooted Deep podcast. My name is Reba Bowman. I am here with my co-host, Allison Hale, and we are just so excited to be able to jump in with you today on just some more things that keep you rooted deep, keep us grounded, keep us growing. And we've had some fun topics lately, and I think these have been challenging in some ways. And I think for sure today's topic is a little challenging.
Yeah, and I think it's always interesting that when we do talk about these things, it's something that is really maybe something that we're going through right now, or we see, or we're counseling other people through, you know, some of these things. So we always try to get some practical tips in there at the end, because you know, the bottom line, staying rooted deep, not only in the word, but as well as in your relationships, in your friendships, in your, you know, in your ministry, in your family, those are all things that we all need to be connected to.
Yeah. You know, I ran into a lady the other day, and she said, I listen to your podcast. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I'm like, do you like it? You know, like what's she going to say? No. Right. You know, and she goes, no, I do like it. And she said, you know, the other day I was riding down the road, I was listening to your podcast. And she said, literally, I pulled off into a gas station and wrote some stuff down, because she's like, it so hit me in the moment. It just was like, oh my word, that's exactly what I needed to know right now, where I'm at right now in my life. And she's like, I just jotted down these like three things, and then I pulled off. And she was like, you know, I'm really loving it. And so thanks for taking the time to do it. Thanks for taking the time to share it. And I just thought, okay, you know, that's a win. Because sometimes, you know, we sit here and you and I look at each other and we talk back and forth, and but we don't know who's listening, and we don't know how it's impacting people, or how it's touching people's lives, or if people are getting what we're saying.
Yeah.
You know, or as the cool kids say, are you picking up what I'm throwing down? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And I heard from somebody the other day, they messaged me via WhatsApp, and just, you know, about forgiveness, and about one of our, you know, one of the podcasts earlier on about forgiveness, and just, you know, cause they were going kind of back into the vault a little bit, I guess. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, really, you know, thinking about things that sometimes I feel like it's a lot of things that we're saying. I mean, I don't feel like that we're super deep.
Right.
I feel like the package is maybe hopefully something that can be like, oh yeah, I knew that. I need to put that into practice. Or I know starting with this, there's a practical tip. And so I'm really thankful for the people who do reach out and talk and just kind of let us know. But we're always open for suggestions. We want to know what we want to know what people want to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so true. And we want our topics to be relevant. And and you feel like, you know what, I can use that in my life today. And I think today's topic is one of those, because Allison, we all have people in our lives that we don't like. I mean, I hate to say that, but we do. I mean, and there's people that don't like us. Okay, so let's put it on both ways.
Yes, both ways.
Yeah. Both ways, absolutely. And today we're going to talk about how to love people that you don't like.
Yeah.
And that sounds like such, like, how do I love them if I don't even like them? Don't you have to like them first before you can love them? And I think that's a common thought pattern, or a common human way in which we approach life. I like you first, then I'll love you. And Jesus says somewhat the opposite in scripture.
Right.
Doesn't really talk a lot about liking people.
But he does. Yeah, it doesn't talk about being buddies. Doesn't talk about, you know, just hanging out.
Yeah, but he does challenge us to say, what does it look like to biblically love someone? What does it look like to walk through a challenging relationship? Or, you know, what does it look like to go through, to show love when people are hard and people are mean, or people are cruel, or people are whatever? Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we've all got those people like that.
And maybe somebody's in your mind right now at this moment.
Right. I know. That's what usually happens, right? We say that and we're like, oh, I know who those people are. And it could be somebody you go to church with, you know, it could be somebody in your, it could be somebody, you know, it lives in your neighborhood, or somebody that actually is in your family. Right. You know, it could be all of those people. And you just think about, okay, wait a minute. I struggle just to like them.
Yeah. Yeah. And what does liking look like? And what does love look like? And I think that's really, it's really difficult to nail down. I remember there was a conflict. I was trying to walk with somebody through a conflict, a personal, interpersonal conflict with somebody else in our church. And this was years ago. And this person said to me, you know, God has called us to love our enemies. And she just sounded so holy. I'm like, yeah, except for this person is your sister in Christ. And so she's actually not your enemy. And, you know, this is different. This is not an enemy situation. This is not the world. And this is where a lot of times these people we don't like are generally in a closer, because we're easy. And I think I've told you this, you know, it's so much easier to love those outside and show love and compassion and mercy and kindness and grace to those outside our family of faith or outside our work environment or outside, you know, because we don't see them every day. We can be very kind to, I mean, we are so nice to people, you know, in the grocery store, you know, or in an airplane, because we're not going to see them again. Right. But showing that same love and grace and kindness to those who are right sitting in the pew next to us or walking down the hallway in a, you know, in a school.
Yeah. Or living under the roof with us.
Or living under our roof.
You know, and I think that is a tough thing. And, you know, I love that you mentioned that verse because, you know, Luke 6 from the Beatitudes, where Luke is, you know, Matthew's the famous passage on the Beatitudes, but Luke also is one of the gospels that covers the Beatitudes. And here, you know, and here in the midst of this is Jesus talking about, you know, he's speaking about I think so much of it is how to be blessed. Yes. But also how to know what's real and what's not real.
Right.
Right. I mean, you see so much of the contrast, you know, you've heard it said in old times, this, but I say unto you this, it's how to know what's real versus what's maybe not real. You know, the Pharisees, they offer up, they do all these things in public, but who are they in private, you know?
Right.
And so I think you see all these contrasts in the Beatitudes or in the, as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, I guess it's better for us to say. And then he gets down to this little passage in Luke 6. Said, but I say unto you who listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And then there's this really misunderstood, misquoted, misguided passage. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you. And from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. Wow. And you know, we read this and we're like, Jesus really means if somebody hits me, I'm supposed to turn around and say, go ahead and hit me on the other side. And you know, we get this convolution of what does that passage mean? And what is Jesus talking about? But if we lay this in context, I think for us, you know, the cry of the gospels, the cry of those who are Jesus followers and the command that Jesus gives us is look, you're to live peaceably with people. You are to show grace. You are to show love that's unconditional.
Right.
Yeah. Not a conditional love based on, again, the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of contrasts going on, right? Not conditional things, but let's think about what is this timeless unconditional, regardless of how they speak to you, treat you. There is a level of unconditional love you're to give to them. But Allison, I just got to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure out what does that look like and how do I manage that every day and in a practical way, even though I know the Bible says it, what does it look like to live it?
Yeah. And I think that's the struggle that we all find. And I feel like sometimes it's understanding most of the time, especially the world's view of love is conditional and transactional. Okay. This person did this to me. I'm going to do that to him. Also retribution, you know, okay. They did bad to me. I'm going to respond in kind. And that's what Christ is saying. No, that's not how we are to live now in this new grace filled you know, the law is completed. We've got to be more like Christ. You have to be. And it's really hard. I think some of the times, and we're going through this right now at the workshop because we have all these women, you know, 15 women in one space. And they all have different opinions. They all have different values. They all have different backgrounds. And they're like, "What? She said this. What am I just supposed to keep my mouth shut?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's keep your mouth shut. Let's not respond in kind. Let's, you know." And that showing, because it's very similar to what we've talked about before with forgiveness. It's allowing somebody else to deal with the hard stuff. Our job is to love. Our job is to forgive. Our job is to show kindness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that Sermon on the Mount passage, Jesus talks a lot about the law. What it was, the law, he refers to the law.
What
The
it
law
was,
says
yeah.
this, but I tell you, there's going to be a new way to live.
Yeah.
And I think this is wrapped up in that. I think, you know, what you said is so true, because the law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Yeah.
You kill my son, I kill yours. You know,
Right.
that was the law. And Jesus is saying, I know this is what the law has said, but we're ushering in this new thing. And how you live that way is because of the spirit that's within you, and what Jesus did for us on the cross,
Right.
and our ability to have a new, to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, right?
Yeah.
That's how I live this 1 Corinthians 13 type of life, which is
Yeah.
quoted a lot at weddings. And I wonder how much any of us live, bear all
Yeah.
things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. I mean, you know, it's like, really? You know, I mean, I can barely do that for somebody that I absolutely adore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
How do I do that with somebody that I don't even like? And if the
Yeah.
earth broke apart right now and they fell down, I would not cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's right. And it's like you look at when you look at especially when you look at that First Corinthians passage and it's and you take stock really of who you are and how you treat others based on that checklist. It is difficult. The patient, the kind, the bearing, the believing and hoping, you know, all things. And that's a difficult checklist, but it's definitely something because that's what at the end of that chapter, and this is, I think, what I love about the end of that chapter, you know, it is now you see through a glass darkly. It's not always easy. You'll eventually, it will be fulfilled. But in the meantime, just do your best to live this way, you know, hope, love, you know, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is
Is
just how you
love.
treat people. And that's the most, you know, and that's the most Christ-like we can be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you don't get anything else out of this podcast, get the next sentence. If you don't get anything else, get this. And this is the foundation that we're going to build this. How do I live like this? How do I love like this? How do I be obedient to the scriptures? And that is, this type of love is not based on emotion. Okay, so this biblical unconditional love has nothing to do with how you feel about someone. And I mean, Allison, you know, we've got so many love songs, love stories, rom-coms. We're so saturated in the feels. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, because God gave us the feels. He gave us all our
Right. He gave us all the
emotions.
emotions.
Yeah, to enjoy life. Okay, so let's put that in its appropriate place. However, when it comes to this kind of unconditional agape kind of love, the kind of love that only Jesus gives to us, that only we can give out to others, we don't manufacture this love in and of ourselves. This love doesn't come from feelings. It's not birthed in feelings. It's actually birthed in Christ. And it's a fruit of the Spirit that'll be birthed out of our lives as we follow and walk in obedience. So we really have to do this. We have to separate. Biblical love is not an emotional thing. It's not affection. It's not
It's
that.
not
It's
feeling.
in it's intentional.
It's intentional. It's obedience. It is an action. It's not a feeling.
No, it's not. So to you know, so biblical love is not an emotional affection, but it's an intentional action. So we can act upon, we can choose to trump how we feel. We can choose to act above, you know, I know what I'd like to say, what I'm not going to say, what I'd like to do, what I'm not going to do. I can choose in this moment to do the right thing. And to show, and when I show love, it doesn't mean I have this fishy gushy feeling. It means I'm showing maybe grace or mercy. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's kindness to people who maybe by their all their actions, they deserve something different. But this is not, I'm not acting on my feelings. I'm acting on what I know to be the right thing in this moment, regardless of how my heart or my mind or my emotions is leaning me into.
And that's so important to begin this discussion this way, because when we talk about these people, the feelings of the different feeling is going to come up, the anger, the frustration, you're going to kind of get your back up because you're going to remember. And I think this is what, I don't know how many people have done this. You're driving down the road and you're literally fighting an argument in your head with a person you haven't even talked to that day, but it's because these people and this, there are physiological feeling, sensations attached to this type of person or attached to people that we don't like. We just got, we were in small group last night, and one of my buddies in a couple small group, I was just sitting there listening to her, and I looked down and her t-shirt said, "I'm sorry, did I roll my eyes out loud?" And I'm like, that is exactly, I don't know how many times I'm like, I want that t-shirt. That is true, because we do, we have these, this, but we've got to fight, kind of fight against that if we are going to truly, love people in a Christ-like manner. And it's even people that do cause us to internally maybe roll our eyes or, take a breath, hold our breath, just pause, because, there are, and again, there are people that feel this way about us. We've got to remember this. If you are, I've always got to remember this. I'm like, man, that person annoys me. Man, that person annoys me. And then the spirit is like, yeah, you probably annoy, twice that many people. And I'm like, that's very possible. Very
Exactly.
possible.
Because we don't think about us being
Yeah,
the
the other
problem. We
side.
always think about the other, someone else being the problem.
Because we're absolutely likable 100% of the
Because,
time, Raymond.
who wouldn't like us? I mean, right? And I think that, again, that's how we all feel. And we feel like our actions are justified, whereas somebody else's are not justified. And it's a crazy mess that we find ourselves in. And I think that's why Jesus said, look, you can't be trusted to make an emotionally good decision. So therefore, I'm going to give you a command that's going to be required, a fruit of the Spirit's going to be required in this one. And I'm going to have to manufacture in you something that you just don't have the capability of doing in
And
and
I'm going
of
to put a Holy
yourself.
Spirit in you to make sure that you remember, okay, this is all the stuff that you've just said that you shouldn't have said.
No, exactly right. So, well, let's talk just for a minute, because there are a lot of types of difficult people, right? And we're not going to labor this point, because I don't think anybody listening to this is having trouble coming up with people that are difficult. But we know, there's people who are genuinely toxic. They are. And what we mean by that is they bring up, po they poison everything they touch. Every relationship they're in, every situation, they seem to self-sabotage that relationship or that situation. They're just toxic people. And those are hard. Those people are hard. And so we're talking about those people. Okay. So this little exercise here is just to help you. So in case you were saying, yeah, but I think, aren't there a few exceptions? Okay, let's talk about that. How about immature people?
And that's sometimes you just deal with that, whether it's immature spiritually or just younger. I think we've got generational, everybody's talking about the generational boundaries that everybody has, and we're flat out Gen X, and so we don't care that we offend anybody, which is I guess, our generational mantra. If you're a Gen Xer, you really don't care, but the younger generation are a little bit more all in their feels, and we're discovering that a little bit, and all in their. And so sometimes, and then the older generation is looking at all of us like, you guys have lived no life at all. You have no idea what we've gone through, And so when you just think about different, and sometimes I'm just like, okay, this person's just younger, or this person's just immature with, especially with the women at the workshop, maybe immature emotionally or spiritually, doesn't, hasn't quite learned how to listen to and obey that spiritual voice inside of them.
And
So,
they can just get like, that's really where we eye roll it a lot, right? It's sometimes the immature. It's because it's like, oh, come on, grow up, But wait a minute, that's those people that God has called us to
That's it.
love. How about annoying people?
Mm.
Oh, this one really gets me. Is people who just annoy the snot out of me, right? Do you know what I
Right.
mean? I probably shouldn't have said that on a podcast, but there are people that
There
just
are
annoy
people.
me to death. I'm like, would you stop, right? Do you have anybody that annoys you,
Right.
Allison?
Yes.
Okay,
Yes, I
me,
do.
I know,
And
right?
it's, yeah, totally. It's not you. It is absolutely
Okay.
not you. However, it's, and again, and it might be an annoying habit. You're like, because we, again, just going back to the workshop, we have a woman that comes and visits and does it daily, and she chews raw rice constantly. And she's just constantly, and it's so loud, it echoes through the entire, and it's just such an annoying habit. That and whether we're talking about an annoying habit or we're talking about silly, like, okay, silly dad jokes or silly, just can't keep up. I know that my husband, I annoy the fire out of him because as he's talking, I'm just quoting movie lines, and that's annoying because he's trying to talk about something serious and I'm either singing a theme from Rocky or I'm quoting a movie line, and he's like, can I just get through a conversation without you annoying? Being annoying. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
So, we've got people like that, people that are toxic, people that are
There's that.
immature, people that are annoying. But I think some of the things that, people do change.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe one of the poorest things that we do is we don't allow for, we have a version of that person set in our mind in
Yeah.
stone, and we never allow growth for that person.
Right.
We
Yeah.
never
We've
dream
labeled
for them.
them.
Yeah, we can't
Yeah.
see beyond that thing that just kind of
Yeah.
roadblocks it for us, realizing that there's so much more to them than
Yeah.
just that. But I think sometimes all I can see is that thing that annoys me, or that thing that's, driving me crazy, or their immaturity, and I can't see beyond to see that bigger person in who they are.
Yeah, and that's definitely, we have to strike a balance because I'm all about patterns. I'm all about, okay, this person is in a pattern of, and I do remember admitting because I was really praying about a situation, and there was this one person that I'm like, maybe I need to reach out and ask that person for help, but because of all the patterns I had seen, I was reluctant. And I really do know that the Holy Spirit was like, hey, take another look. And the pattern had really, there had been growth, there had been a pattern shift. And I'm like, the Lord had done something in this person's life. This person had grown. And I'm like, yes, people, and it gave me hope for myself because sometimes we label ourselves, but also we put labels and stigmas on people that, no, there's been growth. Let's recognize that, because we want people to recognize it in us. But definitely, so it's definitely striking a balance between recognizing these patterns, but not labeling that person forever without allowing them growth,
Yeah,
that growth
exactly. And
change.
I think that's where, really there's two really super practical words that enter into a conversation when we've got people like this in our lives that we don't even like and we're called to love. And that is grace and mercy. I think that's what the Luke 6 passage teaches us. I think it's what Jesus taught, as he showed grace and mercy to those who were evil. He showed grace and mercy to those who didn't care. He showed grace and mercy to those who really, who hung him on a cross, right? And so I think for all of us, it's saying, okay, wait a minute. How can I have grace in this situation? How can I show mercy here? Because, we talk about this a lot, Allison, and this is another situation I think all of us have to recognize, is that hurt people do hurt people. And we see this a lot in the work that we do, women who have been deeply hurt and can turn around, and sometimes they can hurt others. And it's like, it's that all of that getting letting God's do his perfect work in them. And it does take time, just like it takes time in us. And so I think sometimes when we understand, but they hurt me, but they said this, but you don't know what they did. And I will agree with that 100%, because there are days when we take a case and I hear the story behind that case, and I understand what this woman and what these children have gone through. and what this, what these men or man has done to them that brought them to us. And I have no compassion for him. I have lots of compassion for them. But I have none for him. I don't want grace. I don't want mercy. I want absolute judgment. And if it was mine to dole out, I would dole it out immediately. And painfully and slowly, right? You know what I'm saying? Because there is that vengeance in my heart that says, you did this and you hurt and you deserve to pay for what you've done. And only God, I mean, God reminds us over and over again that I have to be careful that I don't put myself in the seat of the judge because I am guilty. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm a sinner. I've said, maybe I haven't done what that person's done, but I've done stuff. I've said things and I've hurt people and I've done all, you know what I mean? And so it's like, wait a minute, you don't get to be the judge because you're not you're disqualified to be a judge in this case.
Right.
So, because you're guilty yourself. So therefore you got to trust the judge. You got to trust the one who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, we believe that to love someone that we don't like somehow means that we are saying all of their mess doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah.
And it's not saying that at all. It's truly not. It's just saying, I'm going to let God deal with you and all your mess. Because I'm unqualified, because I am got my own mess. I think if we can find ourselves moving in that direction through the love of the Holy Spirit and through what the Holy Spirit has done, not to say there's not pain in this process. I wish I could tell you, oh, this is easy, no problem. But I'm going to tell you, some of the people that we're struggling to love, some of those people are people that we once adored.
And it's, the switch that we've had to make in our hearts, or the switch that needs to be made in our hearts to understand again, get that grace and mercy. And that grace and mercy can only come from Christ, can only come from a spiritual,
good word,
from a spiritual fountain, right? It's not, we cannot produce this humanly, but understanding when we get a picture of who we are in Christ, then we have a better, we can maybe speak into, you know, showing grace and mercy to somebody else. Because when somebody's hurt us, when there's been a shift in that relationship, and then you're just like, you know, and you want to throw your hands up in the air, go somewhere else, you know, but then that hurt there, when there's a shift in the relationship. And I remember I think I was sharing this just the other day. There's been a couple times in my life when I've had very, very, very close friendships. And then all of a sudden there was a betrayal, there was and so now, you know, it causes us to kind of really look back and say, okay, what's wrong with me, but what's wrong with that person? And how can I move forward this relationship has shifted. I still see this person every day. I still, you know, am required to interact, but something changed. But how can I still show a spiritual grace and mercy when it's not humanly, it's not, nothing's human, nothing, none of my emotions are, you know, there's nothing human good that I'm going to, if it's left to me, to who Allie is without the Spirit, there's not going to be nice things, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Right.
So how do we, I think a lot of people are like, well, then how do I protect myself from people that are ugly, mean, and hurtful? How do I protect myself and still show love? You're telling me I'm supposed to love Christ, this person. Yeah. And again, when we ask questions like that, I think that we're all up in the fields. We assume that this is emotional thing that we're doing, but it's really, so when we remove it from that platform, like we said earlier, and we move it over here to an action that we take, not an emotion that we feel, then what we can know is that healthy boundaries are completely appropriate in a loving, biblically loving relationship. I can set super healthy boundaries in any relationship that I have, in any encounter that I have. I can set those and still love biblically, you know, because I think we feel like setting limits is not loving. But actually, that's the opposite. Proverbs would teach us in Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. And I've been quoting that verse since I was in college. A friend gave me that verse and said, Reba, this verse will help you guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And I was like, wow, okay, that's a great verse. And so it's like setting limits is an okay thing to do. And putting up boundaries is actually can be the most loving thing you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Because it lets you know it, and I feel like the boundaries let them know and let you know where, whose responsibility is what. And in your case, your responsibility is to protect, not only is to protect your heart, to protect your space and those around you. If, you know, if there's a boundary that you have to put on their family time, or if there's a boundary that put that keeps you healthy and that keeps you available to love them biblically without taking on that emotional toll that would happen if the boundary didn't exist. Because if the boundary does not exist, then you are in your emotional fields. You are in your reactionary, more of a reactionary mindset. The boundaries allow you to love that person through the fence, right? Through, you know, not a wall, it's a fence, but allows you to do that with better responses and less reactionary, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. That's really great, because I think that's so true. You know, it's important for us to set those boundaries up, because I think if we don't, it's hard for us to even show love on a biblical scale. But when we create those boundaries, then we can show that. And Jesus said hard things. He did hard things. So, you know, I mean, he said some tough things to the people that were his dearest friends. You know, I mean, he told Peter, get behind me, Satan. I mean, it's like, whoa, where, you know, and I don't suggest that be your new favorite line. But you know what I mean? I mean, but there are some things we can say in hard situations with hard people. Look, I love you, but I won't tolerate disrespect. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't think right now either one of us is in a mindset to have this conversation. We'll table this for later. There's a place where I remove myself. I establish that boundary. I do that, and then I hold to it. I hold to the boundary, and I think, good night. You just have to pray for so much wisdom in this, because it's so hard. But a lot of us, unfortunately, we've grown we're in a codependent relationship with toxic people. We're in a codependent relationship with people who are immature and are making really poor choices, and their life is slowly going down a deep, dark cavern, and they're dragging us with them because we can't set boundaries. And we've told ourselves, well, I can't do that. I love them. Or, you know, or I hate them one minute, I love them the next, whatever. It's these, it's this kind of thing. And I think for all of us, it's really important for us to set these healthy boundaries, because that's where the most good can be done.
Yeah. Let's talk about boundaries for a minute, because I feel like sometimes boundaries, many times people just think it's space. It's, you know, or time. But it's also thinking about vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? Think about those type of boundaries, not just, I don't want to spend time with that person anymore, you know, because sometimes that's not possible. But is it, you know, is it a time issue, or is it a vulnerability issue?
Yeah, exactly right. And I think sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we are vulnerable to, you know, hey, the words they say, or the actions that they take, or the way they respond to us in certain situations. And we know, you know, I think sometimes it's like a broken record. It's like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. And I think that, you know, what you're saying about, like, understanding that sometimes we have to be in the same space. Sometimes we have to coexist together. And what does that look like? How do we manage? How do we guard our hearts?
Because
sometimes I can't guard my space, but I can guard my heart. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Allison? How do we guard our hearts when we can't guard our space?
I think understanding, number one, understanding it, we have to have, and we've talked about this before, we have to have a clear idea of who we are in Christ and what Christ requires from us. Okay. We have to have grace and mercy for the other person, knowing that maybe sometimes that action or those words that they're saying to us is coming from a place of hurt. Okay. But then also some communication issues to where there are times when people communicate just poorly. And, and just saying, okay, did you mean to say that way? Or did or how about you repeat that again, and just let me. And so then you're automatically putting that other person on call. Hang on. And that you're kind of putting a boundary on their communication, saying, okay, they didn't communicate right. And it makes them think, okay, wait a minute, maybe that did come out right. I think there's been times, even within workspaces, that I've been able to say, okay, I just heard you say that. Let's clarify because I took it this way, but. Did you mean it that way, or is that how you meant that to sound, and kind of putting it back on them a little bit to say, okay, no, she's not gonna accept this type of behavior from me, or she's putting some space between our communication. But understanding who we are first, and who we are, and our worth in Christ, but also our responsibility in Christ, not only for, because this goes back to that Romans passage, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace.
Live in
And
peace,
sometimes that peace requires some clarification, or requires, let's come back around to that. What did you mean by that? Let's, because that, if you don't, then you're going to continue to allow that same action and comment or communication style to create. And then you're living in an unsafe, because you never know what you're going to get with a communication issue, but you start putting those boundaries of communication that might be helpful.
I think sometimes I talk about this in counseling. Some people are turtles and some people are fireworks, okay? So when we get into a situation with another person, we react in one of two ways. And usually there's not a whole lot of middle ground here. There are some people that they are like a turtle. They pop their head goes back into their shell, their feet go back up, and everything goes, they shell it up and they sit there. They don't say anything, they don't do anything, they don't go anywhere, but they just self-protect. And they just, this is the, you know, and there's nothing. It's radio silence from the turtle. Okay. There are other people that are just the opposite of that. Okay. They are like, I mean, somebody dropped a match in a bucket of fireworks. They are exploding in every direction. I mean, you know, and just when you think it's over, there's one more that goes off in grand finale style. You know, and they're the people that, man, you can't, I mean, they're such a loose cannon that it's, you can't go anywhere either. So the turtle position is not resolvable. The firework position is not resolvable either. Neither one of these reactions are healthy. Neither one of them gets you to any kind of boundary or resolution, or even neither one of them demonstrate love, the love that God wants us to have. And so I think for all of us, there really is a Holy Spirit filled, fruit of the Spirit bearing middle ground here, where we may say some things that are strong sometimes, and there's other times that we may be silent and we may sit back and just let it sit with a person and let it sit on that person. And both of those good responses, I think they require us to be in a healthy place, like you said yourself. They require us to be healthy ourselves. It requires us to be, we need to pray. We need to have empathy. We need to be people that are in the right place and in the right spiritual place in order to be able to know, well, wait a minute, I'm a firework person. And those are not spiritual gifts. Okay. That is, that's bad.
Explosion is
Yeah, a lot
not a
of people
fruit of
get
the
hurt
spirit.
in the process. I'm a turtle. I run into my shell and I just let everything fall around me. And then maybe an hour later, 2 hours later, a week later, I poke my head out and it's like, is it clear? Nothing's changed. I'm still in the same place. I'm still doing the same thing. That's not healthy either. So it's like finding, what does Jesus want me to look like? Which way do I need to move? And what does the Holy Spirit need to do in me? So that I can be the person I need to be around people that I'm called to love, but I don't like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we need to remember as we're, kind of going into the more practical ways that we can talk about this is, again, prayer. We do understanding, and talking to God and saying, okay, listen, because he already knows how you, how you feel and how you react. And he already knows it. And so you can, and I don't know how many times I've started a conversation, Lord, I really want to punch somebody right now, and I wish I was your instrument of the, but you're not allowing me to do that. And so, praying
I'd
for
love to be an
discernment,
Old
praying for
Testament
my,
prophet today,
I
but
would love to be an Old Testament prophet right now. I have a bear around me, like, was it Elijah or Elisha that had, was it Elisha that had the
Elisha called the
bear?
bears out, yeah.
Called the bears out. And that, but that's not, again, New Testament grace fulfilled, beatitude, Sermon on the Mount. It was that way, now it's this way, and it's a lot more spirit filled. It's less black and white, right? The Lord, the Old Testament, is opening, he's opening the earth and he's calling down fire, and there, and it's like, man, New Testament is literally forgiving somebody who just crucified you. And that's the New Testament style. That's Christ-like. And so what is a practical? And the first thing is you've got to pray for wisdom and discernment and begin praying for, it's really hard not to love somebody that you're truly praying for. And my mom taught me this years ago. If and she, because she used to work at a jewelry store, and she learned that Baroque pearls, BAR, not broke, but Baroque pearls, are very irregular, and they're lustrous, they're very valuable, but they're hard to use because they're misshapen, or they're, and so they're called irregular. And so anytime I had an irregular person in my life, because there was an old book years and years ago called The Irregular People, I cannot remember the title of that book, and it was this topic right here. And so mom and I would just say, mom's like, Baroque pearls are irregular. And she's like, there's irregular people out there. And she's like, just remember that person's a pearl, and I'm like, okay, that's helpful, thank you. But she would tell me, pray for that person every day, because especially if it's people that we're around constantly, we need to be praying for them, praying for their attitude, praying for our own attitude. What is it in us that is, annoying or getting under somebody else's skin? What do we, how do we need to grow? Praying for them for empathy, and are trying to see that we have empathy toward them, and getting that, more of a grace and mercy. That's I feel like that's step one, because we're not going to get this on our own. There's going to be some practical tips. There's books out there. Yes, there are. But the spiritual side of it really has to come from, from that supernatural source that we have.
No, absolutely. And Jesus's audience, they were living in Roman in times when the Roman government was kind of was controlling everything, so many of things, and Roman soldiers, and they had the right to stop a citizen walking down the road and say, "I need you to carry this load for me." And there was a law that said they were required to carry it so far. And then you could set it down. So it didn't matter if you were headed north and they were headed south. They could turn around and look at you if you passed on the road, and they could say, "Hey, stop. You're required to carry this for me." And you had to go back a mile in the opposite direction of the way you just came because it was required. And this was the audience Jesus is speaking this to. They understand this. They could say, "Hey, I need your coat. Give me your coat." And Jesus is saying, instead of getting so angry, instead of being so mad, instead of just blowing up, which would be the natural response a lot of people would have, he was like, "Look, when they ask you to walk that mile with them, if you're a follower of me, don't have that attitude. Use this as an opportunity and ask them if they need offer to walk another mile. If they want your coat, ask them if they need your shirt as well." And Jesus said, respond in such a different way from the way everyone else responds, that when you respond that way, it takes them back. It stops them in their tracks. And they're like, "Well, wait a minute. Who are you? And what is the difference in you?" And this is an opportunity for salt and light and a chance for the love of the grace of the gospel to be poured forth out of our lives. And so I think that, this was Jesus's audience. Now, in our audience, in today's audience, we're not living in a Roman times, but the principles are still there. When somebody's, cruel to us and ask for something that really is not theirs to take or is demanding of us in some way. Mm-hmm. There's a response that I could have. There's an expected response. And then there's an opportunity for me not to lash out. There's an opportunity mm-hmm. for me not to throw up all over them. There's an opportunity for me maybe to step back and walk away, to show grace, to show mercy. And it's not that Jesus was asking people to step into a fight and say, hit me again. What Jesus is saying is do the thing that is very surprising out of a heart of the love that I'll give you for people. And if you're understanding that these people that you're doing this for are broken, they're hurting, mm-hmm. they're struggling, and they need me. And I think
in this world, I think in this world, we're so focused, especially in our society, and maybe more so as Americans, we're so focused on what our personal rights are. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to live in a loving manner when this is what I deserve. This is what's fair. I do deserve to lash out because they let, you know, and it's never more, I feel like it's always in a concentrated area. And you know this so well, when mm-hmm. we're in an airport. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is definitely travel. Because you and I travel a lot. Uh-huh. And there's never more of a time to really see, you know, who we are, you know, and who, what.
Then when your flight's delayed for the fifth time.
Right. When your flight's delayed or the person in front of you, you know, reclines their chair, or when this is happening, you know, and there's so many ways. It's so, I feel like an airport, especially an airplane, is such a concentrated way to see, okay, this is where I can really practice this loving people that, you know, that I just don't like because this person took their shoes off in front of me or this, you know, but I think because we are so focused on what is fair to us. Mm-hmm. That is why reading this passage that Jesus is talking about was like, that's not fair. That's not what I deserve. That's not what, and we can get so focused on our space and our rights and our, you know, and our worth without thinking of that other person and without saying, okay, what does this look like to love them? Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, and I think that's why we have to be a little bit more spirit filled than we generally are.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus is not asking us to be doormats. He's not asking us to let people, you know, that is not at all what the biblical teaching mm-mm. of scripture is. It's not a doormat. Christians are just doormats. Let everybody walk all over them. That's not what Jesus is saying. Set boundaries. Sometimes say hard things, but say it in love, speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. Confront people. I mean, you want to do some hard things in scripture, read Matthew 18 and how do you supposed to deal with offenses against you. And I mean, come on, that takes a lot of courage to be able to step into some of those things. So there's nowhere in scripture that you get this doormat mentality. However, there is a principle in scripture where I don't respond tit for tat. There is a principle in scripture where I understand what a good boundary line is and mm-hmm. where I can put myself and position myself in a way that I can show the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and not in an emotional way that I feel it, but in a way that God has called me to. And when it happens, I can tell you this, it's the Spirit working in us. We automatically know that it is the Spirit working in us. I was, you know, you were talking about flights, Allison, and I was stranded in Guatemala a couple months ago, and man, there was an issue on the plane. The AC wasn't working. The air filters weren't working. None of the air was working on the plane. And so they canceled our flight. Wow. And we after 6 hours of sitting in the airport trying to get off, they canceled the flight. They had to put us all in a bus. We had to go get our luggage. We had to start all over. We had to go get our luggage. I mean, it's like 10 o'clock at night and they're feeding us and they're putting us up in a hotel, and at 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. in the morning, we've got to get on another shuttle, get back to the airport, and start again. We get back to the airport that morning. It's like 6 a.m. We're sitting at the airport. We've had to repeat the whole thing, check in, everything, just like we just got there. Get through the whole process again, and we walk up, and there's no plane sitting there to get on.
Ugh. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, boy. An hour passes, and there's still no plane. And then it starts. And this guy became the ringleader, and
Yeah.
he started talking to people, and he started, we need to ride, we're gonna, you know. And then they said, we're gonna move. This is what bad time. They said, we're gonna ask everybody at this gate, we're so sorry, but we need y'all to move down to the gate next door, because we got a flight coming in. We need to receive at this gate. And
No.
we've got
Yeah.
a new flight going out
It's not
that
your
you're
flight.
that don't,
Yeah.
that's not our flight, but these people are gonna need to get through this gate.
Right.
Well,
Yeah.
turned out that it was the same airline and going the same destination that our flight was supposed to go.
No.
Well, the minute the people found that out, a revolt arose. People, I mean, 30, 40, 50 people surrounded the desk. They're screaming, they're yelling. I mean, they're cursing. We're gonna block
Yeah.
the gate. We're not letting anybody out. And there's about five of us that are all either missionaries, or we're all pastors, or like me,
Right.
nonprofit. We're all sitting over here, and some in the middle of the fray, we found each other because we were the only
Yeah.
people that weren't screaming our heads off.
Right.
And we found each other in the middle of all the fray, and we're all looking at each other like, this is getting ready to get really ugly. And, you know, and it was like, but that's us, right? At the end of the day, when things don't go right, and when we feel like, you know, it's not fair, and when we, you know, it's like, I don't like anybody, and I don't like you, and I, you know, I have a right to just explode. You know, I have a right to do whatever I want to do. And God has called us to a higher standard than that. And I think, go ahead.
No, and I think these two words that we've used a lot throughout this podcast, when we talk about how we're supposed to act and react and respond in these issues, we're looking at it from an emotional perspective and we're looking at it from a transactional perspective. And that's not what God's love looks like. It's not about what you deserve. It's not about what you've earned. It's not about how you feel in the moment. It's your response. And I think in so many times, we're still waiting. We might waiting for the other person to change their behavior and then we will love them. That's transactional. You know, we're waiting for them to come and talk to us and there we're waiting for their pattern to change before we, you know, and that's a cyclical, and that happens in marriages so many times. It's like, yeah, I know what he needs to change. When he changes this, I'll change this, you know. But that happens throughout all relationships. And it's those two, I feel like it comes down to not, you know, our biblical love, loving somebody that we don't like. You know, is not going to be emotional and it's not going to be transactional. And if we can kind of look at it from that perspective, and I think we can do that checklist. We're like, are we waiting to love them or waiting for to show kindness and grace when we see a behavior change in them? And that's not biblical love. That's not Christ-like love. That's not how we were loved first, in that while we were yet sinners.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I think that for all of us, we have to realize that love is not a weakness. You know, sitting over, you know, even that moment in the airport, as we were gathered over here, the ringleader comes over and said, I need you guys to get up and get over here with us. I need y'all to stand. We're going to stand in solidarity. And there's this moment when we're all looking at each other, and one of the guys, I loved it, he just stood up and he said, you know, we're frustrated too, and and this has messed up our travel schedule, but we just don't feel like this is the right way to handle it. And so
They wanted
he's
you to
like,
all Norma Rae on
well, he
them.
said, I can't speak for everybody standing around me, but I'll speak for myself and saying I can't be a part of that. And then all of us stood and we're like, you know, yeah, we really just can't. And this guy stormed away angry and mad and whatnot. But you know, I think in those moments, understanding that there are we do get into those hard to deal with moments in our life with people we don't even know sometimes, people that we don't, you know, whether it be a pressure situation or somebody right in your life every single day, and you're like, man, I don't even like you. I don't even like these people. You know, maybe it's somebody you work with, maybe it's, you know, whatever, and but you know who they are. And I think sometimes we think, well, love is weakness. It means that I'm gonna get run over, and if I love them, I won't be able to do what I need to do for me. But love is really strength, and it is actually showing that I can, no matter what the circumstance, show the mercy and the grace, the unconditional love of God to people who don't deserve it, because I am those people.
Exactly. That is true. That is meekness. That is that you had the rights and the power. I mean, think about Philippians 2. You know, Christ, who he took off the form of and he put on the form of the servant. That's the type of love that he's asking us and really commanding us to have. And so read Philippians 2, read, you know, go back and read the Beatitudes in Luke and Matthew. And so and pray. Make a list. Like, don't make a list of people you don't like, but make a list of people you need to pray for. Make a list of people who you love, you know, who you love through Christ's help. And make a list of all those pearls in your life, those precious Baroque pearls.
Those Baroque pearls. And and ask God to help you, because there's no way you love them outside of that. And hopefully we've given you a few things today that you can just grasp onto, that you can take with you through your days and weeks, and how you deal with people that are forget about loving them. I'm having difficulty even liking them at this moment. And hopefully we've given you some things that'll help you see above those things as followers of Christ. So until next time, stay rooted deep.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.